Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Dr. Number 14's Best SF Show. I am Dr. Number 14, and today we're going to be reviewing the Strain premiere episode, plus other episodes of Stitchers, Screen, The Series, Pretty Little Liars, Proof, Extant, Wayward Pines, Under the Dome, Beauty and the Beast, Dominion, Dark Matter, Killjoys, Defiance, We're Playing Catch Up on Penny Dreadful, The Last Ship, Falling Skies, The Whispers, and of course, Teen Wolf. Lot of episodes to review in an hour's time. Well, let's first talk about The Strain, episode 201, Brooklyn, New York. It did drop a little bit in the ratings from last year. It got about a 0.8 with 1.664 million viewers. And it really was good for its opener because it showed how a young Abraham Satrakian has told a story about this giant afflicted by gigantism. He's off in the woods. A Strigoi implants his worms in Yosef, who is the giant, and the Strigoi dies, and Yosef changes into the master, which is pretty good. So we have the origin, finally, of the master. And in the present now, the master says his body is dying due to his being burnt by the sun. And so basically, F and Nora are trying to find a cure. They go to a lab. They kill the infected. Meanwhile, Eichhorst and Eldritch Palmer are purchasing a piece of property from this realtor, Miss Michonne, a warehouse, actually. And what happens is Miss Michonne is then offered a job to have her work directly for Palmer, which is pretty interesting. And then Eichhorst says that F's wife, Kelly, has been chosen to be given back her own thoughts. And what we find here is that this busload of blind kids are taken to this warehouse. And basically, Kelly is the and they're made into vampire kids. And Kelly is then responsible for her to be taking care of these kids. Meanwhile, Satrakian leads them to a storage shed. F, Nora, the group, as well as Fett and Dutch. And they find humans are holding up in another shed. And F and Fett get weapons. And Satrakian gets some notebooks, and then the lights go out, and the infected are there in droves. And the two humans, the husband and wife, get infected, and F says he needs the two because he's going to try to find a cure. Well, not a cure for vampirism, but he wants to infect them with a virus that will kill the vampiric curse. And then Eichhorst, as I said, leads Kelly to dirt that moves in the warehouse, and the blind kids come out. And Kelly greets them at the end. So a lot of stuff going on there. Okay, what about Stitchers? And we have two episodes to review, Finally, and then The Root of All Evil. And it has been renewed, even though with ratings like a 0.3, which is a shame because I like some other shows, the Something Game, The Lion Game, which did a much better rating than a 0.3, as well as another one, too, of Something of Lives, Nine Lives, or something like that. So, in Stitchers, finally, Kirsten is playing more of her tape When I Am Gone that her father made her as as he reads Sleeping Beauty to her. And then there's a sequence of tones that are relayed on the tape, and Linus tries to decode the tones. While they're on a new case where Danielle Fox slammed her car into a wall and died, and Kristen stitches, basically they want to find out who killed Danielle, and it looks like she could not control her car. So meanwhile, Kristen finds out that Danielle liked working with Dr. Sebastian Zuber. And basically they visit Dr. Zuber, who works with transcranial magnetic stimulator. And Kristen pretends her brain is affected so that she will have a session with Zuber. And he stimulates parts of her brain, and she recalls the car crash with her mom unconscious. And then she develops a lie story that the mom crashed the car on purpose and drank before the accident, and then Kristen feels better. And what happens is they uncover this plot that George, the associate of Dr. Sebastian Zuber, and himself are basically lying about the results of their study. The TMS doesn't work at all. He wants to treat his wife someday. And now what is going to happen is they're going to put Kristen in the machine, and all her stitcher memories are going to come flooding out. Well, Cameron and the others free her, and basically Danny had found out that this was all a lie, and so that's why she was killed. And then the director of the Stitchers program, Mr. Turner, at one point talks to Kristen at the end. And he says that Clark, or her father, did not commit suicide, and that he protected her. And then Linus deciphers the codes, and they are actually map coordinates. And so Kristen goes to the mom's grave, and she finds a key. Now, in the next episode, 107, The Root of All Evil, basically Kristen has the key, but she doesn't know what it opens. And then Liam Granger shows up, and it's Kristen's boyfriend. And while she's reacquainting herself with her anthropologist lover, James Doe is found by hikers, and Kristen stitches into her memories, and it looks like Jane Doe might be rich because he's at a mansion at a 4th of July party. So they track the mansion down, and basically they want to know by the parents there if they have a daughter, but they have none. So this is really strange. So it might be, and they were gone 4th of July. So Linus IDs the woman through her dog that they figure out, and it's Brenda Miller, and they go to her apartment, and it's really run down. And they find jewelry in the toilet basin, and it's been linked to in-home robberies. And a friend of Brenda's just broke into houses to party. So as this unfolds, it looks like Brenda was killed because she was videoing people making love. And it's assumed that Mr. Parks is having an affair with a female, but Kristen figures out it wasn't Parks, it was a woman, and it was Mrs. Parks who was cheating on her husband. She was having the affair, and she pinned the murder on her husband. So she pulls a gun, but Kristen gets her. And basically, at the end of the episode, Liam proposes to Kristen, which is unbelievable. So, yeah, I like this. I like this. It's pretty good. Okay, what about Pretty Little Liars? Episode 606, No Stone Unturned. Did a little bit better in the ratings, received a 0.8 with 1.704 million viewers. And now the liars think Leslie Stone is A. They're always thinking of someone is A. And this time it's Leslie Stone because they see Leslie's lab, TA. They want to get into her lab. And as that's going on, Sarah is working for Caleb as a web designer, and Emily is getting closer to Sarah. Nicole, a friend of Em's from the Habitat trip, is looking for Em at the brew, and Em decides to head back there and M hugs Nicole, and Nicole found out about A in the trial. And she has an 8-week project in Thailand and wants M there after graduation. But M is reluctant, and she's helping her new friend, Sarah. And M says she's in then, but wants to bring Sarah along too. Meanwhile, Spencer doesn't show up for a drug addicts meeting, and Dean is pissed and thought something happened to her. And when he finds she's okay, Dean says he can't see her anymore. He's attracted to her, and then he leaves. Caleb shows up finally, and Tana and him make out, so everything's resolved. And then M finds that Sarah is hurt, so someone is following her. Car smashed into her elbow and forehead, and the car might have been Leslie's, and she might be making it up. But then M tells Nicole that she can't go. They can't leave because she can't leave Sarah behind. Meanwhile, the girls check out the lab, and they discover they've been chipped while in the bunker. Hannah wants to free the animal. She does. A raccoon gets out and hisses at her, and they give it food. And then a rat goes on Aria. And then Mona is there and says that Charles escaped Radley, according to Leslie. And Mona says Charles is alive. It also got information from Leslie, too. At the end, Ellie's father is digging up Charles' grave. We don't know what's going on there. And Ezra is getting close to Nicole. And Sarah kisses him, and they get intimate as well. So a lot of stuff happening on Pretty Little Liars. Okay, what about Scream, the series? Well, a lot is happening. There's at least one death per episode. In episode 102, Hello, Emma. And it's getting about a 0.4 rating, these episodes, with 811,000 for 102, Hello, Emma, and then 872,000 for Wanna Play a Game. So Audrey's female partner, Rachel, is trying to slit her arms with a razor. Basically, it's Ghostface then, and he hangs her with a noose outside her landing and then puts her up by a fan there to pretend that she had killed herself. Meanwhile, Piper Shaw, a podcast show host, is tracking Nina's death, the first death, as she does a true crime show, Autopsy of a Crime. And then Ghostface texts the teens and says, payback's a bitch, and there's a dead body in a pool in a pic, and the mask is the same as what Brandon James wore. And then Audrey finds out from Rachel's mom that Rachel is dead, hanging from her ceiling fan, and they think she killed herself. But then Emma visits her mom in the morgue, sees Rachel on the slab, and she blames herself for filming that video of Audrey kissing Rachel. And then Daisy believes Rachel fell from a much higher place to have her neck snapped. Well, the Lakewood baseball game commences, and Noah is going to meet Riley in the field. They're getting intimate. And the lights go off, and Riley is there, and they look at the stars, and Riley kisses Noah. And then Lakewood wins, and Will is still having problems with Emma since he slept with Nina. And Emma apologizes to Audrey regarding the video, and she takes full responsibility for it. And then Emma's security alarm goes off, and a man calls her from the security office, but he gets a little too friendly with her. And then he says, did you just lock me in or out? And he starts taunting her and tells her, see you soon. Wow. So I think it's really kicking off, because by episode 103, it really kicks off with the Scream sort of mythos. Noah Foster is talking about Brandon James's murders to a blog host. And now Rachel is the second victim after Nina. And Emma overhears her mom talking about her past. So at the funeral wake for Rachel, Audrey is found by Emma, and Emma tells her a murder investigation is underway. And she also confides in Audrey that someone deranged is stalking her, and Audrey encourages her to text back, I know you killed Rachel, which she does, tell me why. Meanwhile, Kieran tells Emma that his dad, who who is the sheriff, has Brandon James's files, and he will bring them over to Emma. And she reads the files at her house and sees pics of the brutal slayings and the deformed Brandon before his surgery. And she finds out her mom's name was Daisy and that Brandon James was obsessed with her. So M confronts her mom about Daisy, but she doesn't talk to her. And then the killer calls Emma and says he will tell her when he's ready why he killed Rachel. And she says she's done with him. And so then he texts he will find someone else to play with. So it looks like Noah is going to have sex with Riley. But then his girlfriend Riley gets a text from Nina's boyfriend Tyler saying, "Help me." And so, she also gets the text and tells Riley he didn't do it. And he also texts Brooke. So Emma thinks it's the killer goofing around with them. So the police say the text came from Tyler's phone. So the sheriff wants them to meet up with Tyler at the park to lure the character out. So Riley texts him back, and then it's not Riley that goes to the park, but someone else, an officer who heads to the men's washroom in the park, and a car pulls up, and the cops get this man. And he was paid $200 to give them a message saying, "Nice try." So it wasn't Brandon James or the killer. Then Brooke goes to the hotel thinking the teacher is there because she receives a text. He isn't, but a sexy outfit and toys are there. Sex toys are there. So she does herself looking all gorgeous, even cuffs herself to the bed, but no one is there. And then Riley gets a text from Tyler, tells her to meet him out back at the police station. And then Ghostface attacks Riley. She gets slashed. And Riley gets to the roof, and Noah calls her, and she calls out to him, and then she dies saying she's seeing stars. Meanwhile, Brooke waits, gets tired, and calls Emma. And then Emma finds Riley on the skylight at the police station when she calls her and hears the phone ringing, and she goes to the roof and finds her dead. Wow, a lot of stuff happening in Scream, the series. Okay, this brings us to Proof, and then Extent. So for Proof, episode 104, Redemption, not doing very well. It basically got a 0.4 with 2.092 million viewers, and then episode 105, Memento Vivere, dropped from a 0.4 to a 0.3 with 1.825 million viewers. So a police officer is found dead, and this criminal has been shot multiple times, and he dies and then gets up yelling. And he recovers and has visions of this other side. And Mason is haunted by these visions. So Carolyn asks him what he saw. He said he saw the cop he killed, but then a girl in a fast food outfit waiting for him. And it might be a missing person, Laurel Aries. And then he hears seagulls and also sees visual mud, too, orange mud. And so they find Laurel dead in a boatyard buried in mud and four other girls dead too. And they think Mason did it, but Mason denies killing them. And so Turing meets Caroline and suggests she uses the medium Peter Van Owen with Mason. So he sees Mason and Mason recalls his near-death experience, sees the dead cop and the girl again. And he's told to focus on the girl and what she has. And she's wearing something on her neck. And so Van Owen goads him on, and he discovers it's a gold lock. So Mason is released to the police. There was no lock around Laurel's neck, but it was the manager of the fast food place who actually killed Laurel, because Caroline figures it out. There were retractable keys to open locked doors. So it wasn't so much a locked door, but a key. And it's close to the image of the lock that Mason was describing. So Caroline reports back to Ivan. Did Mason see the keys on the manager because he lived a block away from the place, or was it a near-death experience? Well, Mason dies of a pulmonary embolism immediately after his surgery. And then Zed sees a woman with this green scarf that is haunting Caroline in her dreams. So there is something supernatural going on. What, though? We don't necessarily know yet. And then in Memento Vivere, basically, two employees make out in a coma ward, and three of the four patients in this coma ward are flatline. Basically, they're dead, but one recovers, and it's a Jane Doe. So Kat, Zed, and Janelle interview Jane, and she starts recalling these dead patients' memories. Where the patient Gary, she recognizes his Uncle Joe, as well as relatives of others that she could not have associated with, like Sophia's back injury, another relative of the flatliners, and also recognizes Becky, the daughter of Joe. So Jane's temporal lobe seems to be working overtime as long-term memories are being laid down. And then Jane remembers floating above her body during surgery. So a near-death experience, did she die? Dr. Nash triggers a cardiac arrest in Jane. And basically, this is what happened to Jane. Dr. Nash was rushing through the surgery too much, was responsible for Jane being put in a coma. So she did flatline, and Dr. Nash is suspended. And now Jane has regressed back into her coma. And then a man sees the comatose Jane and says her name is Christy and that he's her brother Tom, who reunites with her. So, yeah, that wasn't such a good episode as some of the others. Well, what about Extant? Well, I would say Extant, apart from Wayward Pines, which we will be reviewing as well, Extant really, really basically picks up steam there. And Extant 202 morphosis, and it did pick up in the ratings a little bit from a 0.7 to a 0.8, 5.11 million viewers. The team is commanded by the general is tracking the alien male, which is Molly's child, but then he controls soldiers to shoot themselves. Meanwhile, Julia is making breakfast, Julie, for Ethan. He doesn't want to eat. He wants his parents, and Irabel is throwing the dish down, saying, "You're not my mom. Meanwhile, J.D. Richter is informed by Molly that another astronaut died in space, a dead female on Earth, and she says it's an alien, so they need to get a blood sample. So basically, J.D. and Molly go to the doctor, who points them in the direction of the next female victim. They find the female and interview her, Zoe. And Molly says she needs to terminate her pregnancy or she will. So Molly spikes JD's beer. Basically, Molly seeks out Zoe, and she had a few one-night stands. And Molly tells her how her baby was extracted from herself. And Zoe doesn't want to terminate the pregnancy and leaves. And Molly has head pains, and then she visualizes having sex with the man, then wakes up in the forest and sees a little girl with alien eyes. And then JD wakes her up, what the fuck, and Molly is cuffed, and JD wants to know where she went. And she came back with no explanation whatsoever. Meanwhile, Julie powers up Lucy, a humanic Lucy, who doesn't have the protocols for her superior Anna, and she grasps Charlie's hand, crushing it. And Anna wants Lucy's super strength because she wants a super soldier. Meanwhile, Molly's child is still alive and he's aged to an adult. And so they're going to do a drone strike on the place where he's at, a bar. And then Ethan is overheating his core. He's trying to die. He wants to see his mom and Julie and Charlie. And Ethan is talked down by Julie, and Julie is going to take Ethan's pain away, and she does. And by reprogramming him, he's now calling her mom. Molly escapes from JD, but he's put a tracker on her. And Molly is in the bar, and it looks like her son is deciding to pick her up. And the drone attack commences. Wow. Okay. So a lot of stuff happening there. All right. So this brings us now to Wayward Pines, Under the Dome, Beauty and the Beast, and Dominion. Well, on Wayward Pines, episode 108, the friendliest place on Earth, it received a rating of 1.0 with 3.37 million viewers. So Ethan takes the injured Ben from the bombing and his girlfriend Amy to the hospital so it looks like both of them are alive. Meanwhile, Kate is in jail, and the whole town is talking about the bombing accident. And Dr. Jenkins feeds them a line, it was a gas leak explosion. And Kate is interrogated by Ethan, and there's five others who are now off the grid. So Jenkins tells his sister, Pam, that Ruby is one of the insurgents. Meanwhile, Teresa is with Ben in the hospital room, and Ben regains consciousness. And Harold is in the woods with the other insurgents, and one dies, and Harold and another get a truck while Burke investigates. And a fellowship convenes to celebrate, to get their mind off the accident, but Ethan Burke addresses the crowd and tells them to wrap it up. Meanwhile, Amy sees Ben and spends time with him in his hospital room. And Jenkins confronts Kate, and she knows his identity is David Pilchner. And she says it will never work if people are kept in the dark. And then Reggie, one of the surveillance people, is arrested for deleting footage, and David wants him taken care of. But Pam doesn't want their own people killed, so David says there will be no more killings. But then he goes all Looney Tunes, and he kills Reggie himself. And Harold and his accomplice are transporting their dead comrade. But then Harold takes off. Ethan arrests him and says it's way too late. And the truck heads to the perimeter, and the truck crashes through the fence and gets partially through, and so that the accomplice's friend can be buried on free soil. But the creatures take him and his dead comrade, and they munch on them. And then one of the Abbeys looks toward the fence and wants to get through it. And that's how Wayward Plans, episode 108, ends. And Under the Dome, episode 304, The Kinship, and it did pick up in the ratings a little bit from a 1.0 to a 1.1 with 5.42 million viewers. Big Jim is spying on Christine and then is abducted by these men. And the men take him to this location and shoot him up. Meanwhile, Christine is using the town hall to set up dorms for the residents, and she needs Julia's help along with James, and Christine catches Julia snooping in her office. Meanwhile, Big Jim meets up with Malik, and Malik is looking for the egg, and Big Jim says whatever was in the egg has already been unleashed. And then Christine finds Joe, and he's pissed that Nori and Hunter have gotten so close. So Joe needs to feel part of the group, part of the kinship. So she encourages Joe to meet with Sam so he can move on. Well, Sam, meanwhile, has problems of his own. He's saving Abby from hanging herself, who says she's never getting her daughter back, and Sam says he can help her. And Abby says there's no fixing her, but they get intimate. Meanwhile, Malik hits Big Jim repeatedly, and Big Jim will be tortured unless he tells them about the egg. And he says he has it on the island, he's freed, and then fights with Malik, gets him, and wants to meet with the boss to get out of the dome. But they shoot Malik, and they want the egg, and Big Jim takes off. Meanwhile, with Eva's help, Barbie finds some cattle feed in the silos, and Chris happy they at least have some food for a while. And Julia then finds out that Christine works for Acteon, the same company that Barbie's father is employed. And Nori then decides not to get involved with Hunter, and she gets intimate with Joe instead. Meanwhile, Julia tells Barbie to leave when he gets a bit aggressive with her, so he gets close to Eva instead. And then Julia finds Big Jim. She shoots the Acteon guard, so it looks like they're working together. And then Christine brings James to the cocoons, and they get very intimate. And so, yeah, Under the Dome is moving fast. I'm just not sure where it's all headed. Okay, so now we have Beauty and the Beast, episode 305, The Most Dangerous Beast. And it matched its previous week's outing, and it received 860,000. So let's play, well, it's a promo for Beauty and the Beast, so that I can rest my voice a little bit. So let us get Beauty and the Beast, the promo there. And this was from season one, to see it advance from that time. So here we go.
Oh, Everyone told me it was a wild animal, that this thing I thought I'd seen was just the result of my concussion or post-traumatic stress. I believed them. Just step out where I can see you.
You know I did not hurt that woman. It is too dangerous for the both of us.
You're not a monster. You saved my life.
Well, that's a lot different because he isn't a monster, and they're getting married now. So Kat gets a new partner, Wesley, and they investigate an armed robbery. Meanwhile, JT thinks if Bob and Carol can't see, their powers are negated, so they're trying to deal with Bob and Carol. And Carol is planning to take care of Kat, and Bob is planning the same with Vincent. So Carol kills a victim in a restaurant with a high-powered rifle, and Kat assesses it's Carol. And Vincent meets up with the Mr. Daniels in Lake Placid, and Bob is there, and Daniels cries out, and Vincent frees Daniels, and Daniels is beaten up pretty bad, and then shot in the head. So while this is going on, JT and Tess find Bob and Carol's brownstone, and they find a map, and JT can see markings in the dark. That's one of his abilities. And one is in Lake Placid, so JT is going to find Vincent. Meanwhile, meth is planted on the body, and they go to a meth lab, and Carol is there, who shoots Wesley, who gets away, and Kat goes in after Carol, and they fight. And Kat comes out with Carol cuffed, and the police take her. Meanwhile, JT is at the lake while Bob is hunting Vincent and wants to see him beast out. And he throws a Molotov cocktail at Bob, Vincent does, and Vincent downs him. But Bob shoots him with trank darts, and Bob is going to take him to his boss. But JT sees all this and calls Tess, and he has a plan. He stops the truck. He puts a branch out at stopping the vehicle, and then Bob hits JT with his truck. Vincent beasts out, kills Bob, and controls his rage. And JT is okay. He's already healing, but he's not healing all the way. And meanwhile, Tess and Kat tell Carol about Bob, and she collapses, and she stops her own heart and dies. So it looks like Bob and Carol are out of the picture. And then JT overloaded the serum in himself, and it might have burned out of his system. So he might be okay, which is pretty good. Oh, we have to talk about the Dominion premiere, episode 201, Heirs of Salvation, which got a 0.26. All the sci-fi shows are getting in the 0.2s and 0.3s now, with 1.059 million viewers. So Michael is killing people, or is it 8 boss? And we don't know what's going on. So 2 days earlier, Noma is staked by Gabriel. Just as the bomb drops on Gabriel's HQ, thanks to Claire, and Noma and Nona and Alex escape. And Nona protects Alex with her wings, but Gabriel is still alive too. So they're heading to New Delphi because they have an army. Meanwhile, David Wheeler tells Claire that Alex was with Gabriel, and Claire informs him she's still running the army. Meanwhile, Michael wakes up on a beach. A human spots him with his wings, and he heads to a human settlement. And Michael is greeted by the humans, who take his weapons. And as this is going on, Claire finds out that Gabriel got out, and David is pissed because he feels now all of New Vegas is going to be affected by Gabriel's wrath. Meanwhile, in the town that Michael is at, the townspeople believe God protects them. And Michael gets back his swords as this rain starts to pour. It puts out the fire that is keeping the 8 boss out. The 8 boss arrive. The humans fight the 8 boss. Michael decides to protect the humans by slaying and decapitating as many as he can. The rain stops. The fires start up again, and the remaining 8 boss flee in the flames. and the female human leader watches Michael fight. As this is going on, David plans to overthrow Claire with the council's help. And the son watches his father, David, operate. But his son has already died, William. So basically, it's all in David's head. And then at the end, Alex does evict an angel demon from this human. He's dead, but free. And then he awakens, and his name is Pete. And Pete doesn't want to be left on his own, so Alex takes him. And then they're caught into this net by this new type of eight ball that seems very conscious and very sentient. So a lot happens in Dominion, a lot of action, I would say. So this brings us now to the Friday night lineup of Dark Matter, Defiance, and Killjoys. Dark Matter, episode 104, picked up a little bit in the ratings from a 0.2 to a 0.22 with 1.028 million viewers. I really like this episode because they were using the numbers for each other. 1 and 3 are trying to sell weapons at the space station, while 6 is going to the clinic to get his arm checked out, and 2 is getting money for some other things on the ship, and she's using 5's ability to gamble in the casino, and 4 is still on the ship, and he finally goes down and shows a ring to a pawn dealer who says it's genuine and locks up, so he can't get money for it. Meanwhile, 1 and 3 are trying to sell weapons. They meet a buyer, but they get locked in a room and are gassed and are bound up in chairs, and then they're greeted by Jace Corso, who looks exactly like one and wants to know why one has his face. And Jace interrogates his lookalike and thinks one paid someone to have his face surgically altered. And one says he woke up with his memories gone. And Jace has been chasing one ever since he went aboard the Raza and has been following him for months. So Jace shocks both 1 and 3. And then he decides to take the weapons for himself. And he gets the weapons aboard the Raza, posing as 1. Meanwhile, the manager says 2 was cheating, and so 2 and 5 are both banned, and their money is forfeit, and they fight, and 2 kills them all. And 5 is just done, but she takes 5 and she runs. And then 6 finally sees a doctor. Doctor gets skin samples from him and sees 6 is wanted and activates a button, and then puts a graft on his burnt flesh, but 6 hypos the doc and gets out before security arrives. So they don't have any weapons. They lost all the weapons. They lost all the remaining money gambling. So the ship jumps to FTL, and the crew is worse off than before, with also the reveal that 4 learns he killed his father, the Emperor. So a lot of stuff is happening here on Dark Matter, which is pretty good. Okay, what about Defiance? History Rhymes, episode 305. It did pick up in the ratings. It's probably the highest performer of the night, Defiance. It's also the first one and that airs, too. From a 0.24 to a 0.4 with 1.28 million viewers. So Nolan and Arissa are sharing images in their minds. They're both are seeing are having seizures. So Doc Yuo has a theory as to what is happening with them. And Berlin finds Arissa still in the seizure state. And basically, Nolan and Arissa's vitals are stabilized when they're brought together. It looks like their brains were tethered in the pod, and the Olmec severed the attachment, so the architect is growing in their brains, and it needs to be removed. And Stama, meanwhile, is having sex with the Olmec leader, but tells him she needs to get Alec away from Ram Tak, but he's not going to help her. Okay, so the Olmec is going to help with the surgery of Nolan and Arissa. He's going to use one of the drones to help with the surgery, as well as insert an implant in Doc Yuo's brain to do this duo surgery on both Nolan and Arissa. And while this is going on, there's these flashbacks of Nolan training a young Arissa to kill an alien. the young Iris is ready to kill Nolan with a knife at one point because he doesn't want to kill. And Iris said it did happen, but she was scared of him. So as they're having these flashbacks, they awaken, and Nolan looks at Iressa. And Iressa said she's not okay with killing then and now. And she says there's no place for her in Defiance, so she plans to leave tomorrow. Remove the architect. She simply repaired it. And she can't separate. They can't separate from each other. So Iressa says she wants Nolan to go away, but he can't go too far. Meanwhile, Alec tries to get out of Ron's camp. He does. Drives away, steals a vehicle, and returns home to Stalma and pulls a knife on his mother for killing Christine. And that's how that episode ends. Wow. What about Killjoys, The Harvest? It was about the same, a 0.21. The previous week was a 0.22 with 915,000 viewers watching. Well, Davin is doing an evaluation so he can be a Killjoy. He is inducted at a level 4, so he outranks John, but he still needs a psych evaluation by Dr. Potter. As they're celebrating, migrant workers at the bar are there during harvest week, and Darwin is ready to choke one migrant to death until Dutch gets there. And one migrant worker, Vincent, is missing, and his wife wants John to find him. And he's an illegal exile, and the sentence will be transferred to her if he's not found. So what happens is, as Davin is trying to get his signed evaluation from Dr. Potter, John goes undercover as a migrant worker on leave, and Dutch poses as the lady Sarah, who has who wants to invest in this company. And they discover that if workers run out of the zone, they get killed with an incendiary device implanted in their ears. So while Dutch pretends to have sex with the owner of the mansion, Martel, she gets his retinal scan, and basically Davin experiences, John gets in with a female worker who knows Vincent, and she leads him to the camp. And Dutch has to expose her Killjoy identity and says Vincent is in the woods growing rock crops. And so Vincent punches John. John says he's a Killjoy, and his wife put a warrant on him. And Vincent takes off, but John gets them, escorts Vincent to the ship as the defoilage ships arrive. And Vincent goes to a prisoner holding facility, reunites with his wife. She hits him, and he's charged with illegal immigration. Meanwhile, to make a long story short, Dr. Potter gives Davin a psychological approval. He passes the evaluation, but he needs help for his PTSD symptoms. And Dr. Potter identifies it as stress response syndrome, SRS. And he should be treated, and he wants the doctor to treat him. So that's how that ends. Now, Sunday night, Penny Dreadful, Last Ship, and Falling Skies. So on Penny Dreadful, episode 208, Memento Mori, Lily is talking to the dead man she strangled and puts on her clothes and leaves. And then the creature Caliban wants to electrocute Victor and for taking Lily away from him. And then he will return. And so he wants to go with Lily, and then he will return to Victor and show him the monster he has made. Meanwhile, the inspector visits Sir Malcolm, wants to know about Ethan Chandler, but Malcolm says he doesn't know Ethan. And Lily returns to Victor, and Victor wants to know where she's been. She said she had an entertaining evening with Gray and slept on the bench in Hyde Park. And Lily sees flowers that were sent by Dorian, but she says he's a little too sophisticated for her. Lyle, meanwhile, interprets the devil's memoirs and says Lucifer had a brother on Earth. Shocker. And then Evelyn Pooh uses her voodoo doll of Malcolm and holds his heart in her hands, and Malcolm gets possessed. And the manservant forces him to confront who he is, and he dances with figures, including his dead daughter, Mina, and his son, Peter, and his dead wife. And Evelyn can't control him anymore and yanks the heart out, and Malcolm is released from his enchantment. And Malcolm arms himself and goes out to confront Evelyn. Meanwhile, Caliban sees Lily with Dorian again. And Malcolm is at Pooh's. He's attacked by the witches. He falls down the stairs. And while this is going on, Dorian finds Angelique has found the passage to his secret room, who's looking at his picture. And that's what he truly is, he says. He's horrible, old, and disfigured, but she will still love him. And she faints. And basically, has she been poisoned? Or has he killed her? Or has he drugged her? Meanwhile, Caliban confronts Lily. She rejects him and throws him back. And then she becomes enraged, and she says she will never kneel to any man. And then she says she wants him. Crazy girl. And when Victor comes home, they will kill him, and then they kiss. Meanwhile, Evelyn talks to Malcolm and wants his love. He denies her, so she puts a scorpion on him. He whisks it off and finds a coffin and opens it, and other coffins appear, and all his dead family become reanimated and confront him. God. Ooh. Okay, this brings us now to The Last Ship and Falling Skies. So The Last Ship, episode 205, The Achilles, received a 0.7 with 2.99 million viewers. Felix, the patient zero, who's immune, is taken to the sub-leader, and he and his brother Ned have commandeered the sub, and he finds out that they're all immune, like himself. In fact, I'm trying to see, because instead of Ned and his brother, and it's actually the commander's name is Sam. Okay. But we don't realize that till episode 206. And the Nathan James is scanning the waters for the sub, and they do have a prisoner. And Slattery interrogates him. He was drafted 2 weeks ago, find out that the commander is a Brit and a maniac, and he did not know the crew of the hospital ship would be killed, so he's seeking political asylum. The Nathan James is on a collision course with the sub. They move to starboard, and the sub turns to intercept, and they mean to sink the Nathan James. What else? Nathan James then goes quiet. The sub loses their signal. Ned loses it. And then Sam wants him to be patient. The prisoner starts bleeding from his mouth, and they find he had a tracker on him, and that's why he wanted to be put on deck so the sub can track them. So they take him below deck, and the doctor removes the tracker. Meanwhile, the sub turns toward the Nathan James. The Nathan James prepares and fires torpedoes. The sub fires back. The Nathan James evades the torpedoes, the sub submerges and goes down to greater depth. Meanwhile, the doctor finds out it's not a tracker, but a flash drive. It wasn't a beacon. They need to interpolate the data. They are coordinates to Phoenix. In fact, all the remaining labs in the United States that are trying to develop a cure. And then it looks like that's all the sub really needed. Once the decoding was processed, they found the lab locations. They launched 18 missiles to bomb the labs. The Nathan James fires counter missiles. They get only two. So 16 labs are destroyed. The prisoner is dead. And Slattery deduces all the crew has the cure. They have been vaccinated. But the doctor analyzes the prisoner's blood, and they find that the entire crew is immune. Now their mission is to destroy the cure so that they can be the top dogs on the planet. So Felix gives the commander information on the labs, and now they're going to take America by storm. Wow, a lot of action there. What about Falling Skies, episode 503, Hatchlings, which received a 0.4 with 1.878 million? This was a sad one. They use an alien device to spray the skitter's nest that they find and destroy it. And Tom is using other militia to band together to form a coalition. Meanwhile, something is going on in Washington, D.C., but what? We still have yet to know that. And then Brian communicates to Katie, the human skitter, via Maggie. But then Brian breaks connection. And he loves Katie, but he's not sure he can be trusted not to hurt her. While this is going on, Anne thinks that the Espeni are reproducing because there's simply too many skitters there. Brian Ditsbury takes Caitlin with him, his sister, and Maggie is going after him with Hal's help. And Maggie sees Brian with Katie next to an overlord. Brian is ordered to kill Katie. Hal stops the overlord. Brian accidentally shoots Katie by mistake and then kills himself for what he did. And then Katie dies. And then Hal brings the overlord back to the camp. Meanwhile, Tom saw the species, the Ladonia, and these are the Espeni changed them to skitters centuries ago. Why the Ladonia are contacting him is anybody's guess now. And then Pope tells Sarah he really gets connected to her. He had kids and said it's never too late to have more of them. And while together on a reconnoiter mission, Sarah is stuck in the ground, and Pope tells her he loves her, and she feels the same, and he's going to get a flamethrower to free Sarah. Meanwhile, Ben and Maggie combined want to get into the Overlord's mind. They do as Tom hits the Overlord mercilessly. The Overlord causes the two to collapse. But Ben and Maggie say he's making skitters and hornets, and Tom knows where they are. And so Tom and Hal go to the building and see them emerging out of the vat. So Tom bombs the vet, but Anthony freezes up all of a sudden. And so he's suffering from PTSD. So Pope comes back with the flamethrower, but she's dying. It's too late. She says he was the best thing that ever happened to her before she died. And Pope cries. And then when Tom pulls up, he says it's too late. Meanwhile, Anthony shoots the overlord mercilessly. And Weaver takes his gun, and he's off of handling weapons now. And Pope just looks at Tom Mason at the end. He's going to go all Breaking Bad, and he's officially Nat. Okay, what about The Whispers, episode 107, Whatever It Takes? It did pick up, and it has been picking up now, from a 0.8 to a 0.9 with 3.55 million viewers. The Rock is being surrounded by magnetic towers. Sean says The Rock should be blown up. He is opposed to Wes. And the conference is with the president, who wants to see The Rock. And Cassandra, his daughter, is in contact with Drill. And the president sees The Rock. He wants The Rock protected. Meanwhile, Sean is reunited with his family, Henry and Claire. And Lena is still communicating with Drill via Minx. And it stops when Wes comes home, and Minx tells her not to tell Wes. Sean then decides to leave the next day. He wants to protect Henry. So he goes to the Rock. He gets wired up by Dr. Teller, and he wants the doctor to help him stop Drill. And Sean knows what he saw in the blue light. And Sean felt something enter his mind, and his first vision was at a playground where there were no kids, then at a school, and no one was there. So Wes finds Cassandra's mom's phone, the president's daughter's phone, in along with the toys, and Drill is tracking them. And Cassandra says Drill needs to phone home, and he's calling for reinforcements via the Rock. That's what is concluded. So Claire goes to the facility. She's wearing an FBI vest, and she sees the doctor and Sean there, and they're going to reverse the EMF of the Rock. And they have to turn off the magnets and then generate an electromagnetic pulse to short it out. So Drill comes, so do the troops. Teller, the doctor, is shot. The power goes out. Drill goes into the Rock. Sean is able to generate the EMP. The Rock explodes. Sean is alive, and it's concluded that Drill is gone. And Claire and Sean are given over to Wes. And Minx says Drill is still there, and she tells Lena. So did Drill survive? We think so, and we know so if you saw the latest episode. One more to go, and we will have covered 18 shows today, record 18 shows. On Teen Wolf, episode 504, Condition Terminal. Donovan is in jail. Someone is there. The Dread Doctors arrive, and they take him. Meanwhile, Scott and his team arrive at the police station, and the Canema is there, and Lydia is injured, and Malia is over the body of Tracy, And Valia says these guys in masks, the Dread Doctors, killed her, and she isn't changing back to human. And Donovan is strapped down now by the Dread Doctors. They yank out his teeth, and then the teeth change into fangs. So they're changing him into a hybrid. And as she recovers, Lydia also has this vision of the masked figures working on her. So the doc thinks Tracy is not supernatural because she crossed the mountain ash, but that she was created a werewolf with the venom of the Kanema. So the doc is leaving for a few days, and he says the rules have changed. And Scott learns about a chimera, merging of two opposite things together. And so he thinks the Dread Doctors are doing this. So Theo talks to Donovan at one point while he's there but with the Dread Doctors, and it looks like he's involved, and says Donovan scored high on the psychopathic inventory, and says Donovan now has power, and Theo tells him he should go after someone Stilinski loves, namely his boy Stiles, which he does at the end, and Donovan takes Stiles, and his hand has this fanged mouth on it. That's the ending. Needed to tell you the ending there. Meanwhile, Liam is Mason's wingman at the cinema. And so as this is going on, this boy, Corey, comes in the hospital 45 minutes ago. He's in pain, has marks on his arms. Scott absorbs his pain, and his arm is still affected. And it looks like there's giant scorpion venom still in him. And Mason is interested in Lucas. But Lucas is this creature. It's this scorpion creature. And Corey said Lucas did this to him and felt a sharp sting on his arm when he did it. And his eyes turned black. And now Lucas is at the cinema. So Lucas is kissing Mason, and he starts changing. And the werewolf throws Lucas back and tells Mason to run. And basically they fight. And Liam gets involved too, as well as Scott and Kira. And Kira is ready to use her fox powers to kill Lucas, but Scott stops her. But the Dread Doctors come. They kill Lucas, saying his condition is terminal. And then the lieutenant, or the deputy, takes Lucas's body, and he burns it. And then Donovan takes Stiles, as I said, and his hand has this fanged mouth on it. Wow. A lot of stuff going on with the Dread Doctors. Okay, well, that's it for this week. We did a record review. We'll be back next week, probably Monday or tomorrow. Until next time, sleep tight.